Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We are in day nine, and we'll also do day 10 of lesson two in our study through Acts. I'm Jennifer Richmond, and as always, I'm really glad that you're here with me. If you're listening on YouTube, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. If you're listening over on Facebook, hello. I'm glad that you're here as well. Maybe I've just popped up on your news feed as you were scrolling through Facebook. And of course, those of you who are listening in on the podcast over at Dwelling Richly, hello to you too. If you're with friends or if you're by yourself, wherever you are, I'm glad that you're here. We're going to get started on this lesson right now with a word of prayer. Go ahead and join me, and then we will jump into our lesson. So I'm excited. Grab your coffee, grab your Bible, and let's get going. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Go before us. Bless our time in the Word as we dig into it and learn, hear from you. We want to glorify you in all that we do today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a beautiful day out. And again, I'm glad that you're with me. It's been a wonderful study. And today we are wrapping up lesson two with our double day. We always do day 9 and 10 together because 10 is a create and share day. And so that gives you a little more time to reflect and get your thoughts together and maybe do something fun and different and creative. And you'll have fun with that at the end of today's lesson for sure. Let me go ahead and switch screens. And there we go. Here we are on lesson two, day 9. And as you can see it here at the top, the way our lessons are organized is that we memorize and meditate on the word, we write the word, and we read it. So let's begin with our memorization. We are memorizing Acts chapter 1, verse 8 through this whole lesson. How are you doing on it? Do you have your post-it notes? Have you been putting them around your house and sharing them with friends? I appreciate those of you who have posted your pictures on Instagram and on Facebook and even just texted them to me. And if you haven't done that yet, today is a great day to take a picture of you doing your study. I love seeing that. I don't know, maybe you're at home and you're office or in your car or with your dog or your cat or your husband or your friend or whatever it is that you're doing, take a picture. Let me see it and post those and share so we can connect together. Let's go ahead and say our Bible verse together. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1, 8. How'd you do? Good job. Hopefully that was a good job. I'm just going to assume it was a fabulous job. Our last verse in writing of Peter's sermon in our Write the Word section is verse 41, Acts 2, 41. So I just bit my tongue. Ouch. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. All right. How'd you do? Did you get all this sermon of Peter done? Starting in lesson one all the way through to lesson two, we took two whole lessons to write out this sermon of Peter. So good job. Our reading today comes from Acts 2, 37 through 41. And as I noted here at the top of your lesson page, we're going to go ahead and read that from several translations. Bible Gateway makes it pretty easy to do. So I'm going to go ahead and just get a few called up. And let's do these three. So in the English Standard Version, we have already read it before. Let's go ahead and read it this time from what is called the Complete Jewish Bible. So Jews who have accepted their Messiah, Jesus, would call themselves Messianic Jews or perhaps completed Jews. And so they still have their Jewish heritage and their foundations, but they have received Jesus as their Messiah. And this is the Bible. They would normally just have the Old Testament, right? But with Jesus, they have the Old and the New Testament as well. And here is what it sounds like from the Completed Jewish Bible. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts, and they said to Kepha, so Kepha is Peter, the Hebrew word for Peter, and the other emissaries, brothers, what shall we do? And Kepha answered them, turn from sin, return to God. Each of you be immersed in the authority of Yeshua, the Messiah. So Yeshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh. So you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, for the promise is for you and for your children and for those far away, as many as Adonai, our God, may call. He pressed his case with many other arguments and kept pleading with them, save yourselves from this perverse generation. So those who accepted what he said were immersed, and there were about added to that group that day about 3,000 people. So isn't that interesting to read it from that translation to hear the Jewish words? So that's our reading for the day. Let's go ahead back over to our lesson. If your hairdresser told you that your hair was thinning out, what would you ask? If your mechanic said you had a bad leak, what would you ask? If your vet said your dog had fleas, what would you ask? If you're like most people, you'd probably ask, what should I do? You have heard some important news from an expert. Now what? Shrug and move on? Of course not. Get the help you need to make it right. Our final passage in this lesson begins with this question. What shall we do? So from our reading of Acts 2:37 from several translations, what does this figure of speech, we will now be reading, I should say. I read it before I started the study, so I had it in my brain already. Read Acts 2:37 from several translations. What does this figure of speech mean? Cut to the heart. And what does this figure of speech imply, actually, also? So let's take a look. I've called that up here in several translations. One of my favorites is the Complete Jewish. Another is Phillips. And this one here, the Passion. Let me read it from the Passion. When they heard this, they were crushed and realized what they had done to Jesus. Deeply moved, they said to Peter and the other apostles, "What do we need to do, brothers?" Here's how the Christian Standard words it. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" The New Century says they felt guilty, and the New International says they were cut to the heart. Along the lines of the same thing the ESV says. It's fascinating to read different translations. And again, if you haven't done this before on Bible Gateway, click that button right there and just pick another one. Here we go. Names of God. When they heard this, they were deeply upset. All right? So it gives you, again, it's the same Greek word. In fact, I'll show you a Greek. This is a good one by Mounts, Dr. Mounts. Mounts reverse interlinear. Here we go. Now, when they heard this, akuo, they were cut, kata, so that kata actually means cut, that's what that prefix means, katan isomai, to the heart, ho cardia. So you should recognize that root there, cardia. See that? Right there. Anyway, this is the Mounts, Bill Mounts is a Greek scholar, an expert in Greek, and he has written what's called a reverse interlinear. So it's English on the top and then the Greek wording below. And so it's great because it's very literal. This is exactly what the Greek is saying. Other translations like the Passion, which I read from a moment ago, will take it and they'll, instead of doing a very literal, they'll explain the nuance of it, which can get a little bit sketchy if you have a translator who wants to put a spin and give the nuance. So that's why I prefer cleaner translations like the ESV or the New American Standard that are very literal. And then we can get some of the nuances later. But anyway, enjoy that. That's certainly one that I do in our study. All right. What does a figure of speech mean? Well, it just implies that they felt guilty. They realized what they had done. All right. Why do you think they were cut to the heart? Why do you think they felt guilty? Well, Peter had made it clear, didn't he, that God had ordained it. They still crucified Jesus. That Jesus was their Lord to whom they should have surrendered all rights. And we talked about Lord, meaning that, let me go back up here to yesterday's little takeout box. Lord is someone who has all rights to you. Christ means the Messiah. They crucified him. All right. Why do you think they were cut to the heart? They shouldn't have done that. They should have received their Messiah when they had the chance. Even though it was part of God's plan, they realized their guilt involved in all of that. Okay. So look back now at Peter's sermon from Acts 2, 14 through 36. Does he preach a call to action? Like, and therefore you should do this or you should do that? Or does he just preach the facts? Or does he preach a little bit of both? Take a look at it. Acts 2, 14 through 36. Let's go back over to that. I'm going to clean this up since I don't need the distraction of other translations when we do this. There we go. All right. 14 through, go back to that. I had it called up here. Sorry. Let me go ahead and clean this up. You know, it's really easy to do, actually. Oh, I have it. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just remove the multiple different translations And we'll read it out of the New International. Here we go. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem. And remember, he gives this sermon and he quotes from Joel. Okay. Does he preach a call to action? He says, let me explain to you. Listen carefully. These aren't drunk people. All right. It's only 9 a.m. He reads this whole thing. In Joel, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He does read that part. Fellow Israelites, listen. The Jesus here, God sent him. You crucified him, handed over to death right here. God raised him from the dead. And then he quotes David's prophecy, reminds him of that. And it says, fellow Israelites, again, I tell you confidently, Patriarch David, he's dead. He's in his tomb. We're in this part right here. In fact, you know what? Let me see something here. I know there's a way to, yeah, cool. I've done this before. Let's see what happens if I do that. Spotlight text, draw. I think I can just draw. All right. Let's find out. Let's find out what happens when I do that. No, didn't let me draw. Hold on. Hold on, hold on. I know there's a way to do this. Mouse. Those of you who are listening, go away. I don't want to do that anymore. All right. Those of you who are listening on the podcast, I'm like, what is she doing over there? I know there's a way to write. I know I've done this before. Draw, stamp, spot. Let's try spotlight. It doesn't change it. Bill of Israel. No. Interesting. All right. I'll fuss with that another day. Sorry about that. Okay. Anyway. Does Peter preach a call to action? Does he say, you need to do this? What does he say? He explains, he gives the gospel, he tells them about Jesus, he tells them about the prophecy in Joel, he confirms this is actually happening right now, he reminds them of David, he reminds them of the descendant of David sitting on the throne, he tells them you crucified Jesus, he tells them that they're guilty of that sin. And he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So in this sermon right here, is there any call to action? Is there? What do you think? You tell me. This is important, and I don't want to really share my thoughts on this because I want you to think. I want you to tell me, do you hear a call to action or not? What is Peter's message in his preaching? What is he doing? What's his methodology? How does he approach it? What does he say? All right, pause and write that down. Discuss it with the person sitting next to you if you're in a group right now, and then share and leave a comment. Let me know, and I'll engage back with you. If you leave the comment, we can talk in the comments. It's a nice way to do that. All right, so number four, Peter answers their question with two requirements and two blessings. What does he say? He gives them two requirements and he gives them two blessings. Let's take a look back at our passage. My mouse to cooperate here. And he says, save yourselves from this. No, I'm in the wrong passage from this. Where did it go? There we go. He says, for crying out loud, I just lost my whole scripture verse where I was looking at. What question am I in? See, you too can lead a Bible study and get completely lost in the middle of doing it when you're talking to people. Peter answers their questions with two requirements and two blessings. What does he say? Verse 41. He says, here we go. Buried in there, right in front of my face. He says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said, and the rest of the apostles, they said to them, what shall we do? And he answers their question. And he says, repent. There's a requirement. Be baptized. There's a requirement. And every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So in other words, it was John's baptism. This is different. If you were baptized by John, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the new age. This is the church age, and this is under Jesus now. You need to be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. All right. So the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. All right. Two requirements and two blessings. So repent and be baptized, two requirements and blessings, forgiveness of your sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what is the promise Peter is referring to, and to whom is it for? So in Acts 2:39, he says, the promise is for you and the children who are far off, everyone for whom the Lord our God calls to himself. But what is this promise? The Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, Holy Spirit. That's it. Nothing else. You don't have to do anything else. Just repent and be baptized. The gift of the Holy Spirit is yours. All right. In question number 6, how does Peter describe his own generation? Well, he says it's pretty harsh on them, isn't he? This is a crooked and perverse generation, he calls them. And he asks, then what does he say has to be done in response? You've got to repent. You have to turn away from your sin. You have to claim the name of Jesus Christ, right? Do you think this applies to our generation today? And why or why not? That's, again, a personal opinion question. I think it's one of those moments, but I really just want to hear from you. Peter calls out his generation and says, this is a crooked generation. It's perverse. It's twisted. He's warning them. Do you think that applies to us today? I'd like to hear from you on that. And then here's our final question from John 14:12. How is that promise coming true at Pentecost? Well, let's take a look. I kind of give you a hint there in John 14:12. Very truly, this is Jesus' words, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Has Jesus gone to the Father? Yes, he has. Are they doing great works in his name? Yes, they are. And even more to come as we continue in our study through Acts. All right. So that wraps it up for Lesson 2, Day 9. And just as we close, I want to make sure that you have time to do your create and share day. So here is day 10, which is always going to be a create and share day. We begin, as always, as writing the word, but let me go ahead and read to you the inspiration for this and just my thoughts on doing this create and share day. So if there's one thing about Peter's preaching that stands out today, it is that he did not avoid calling out the sins of the crowd listening. Many preachers today hold back on making any focus on sin until they think they've won the crowd over with stories or music or other methods that they believe are more enticing. Look at that. I spell believe wrong. How does spell check not get believe? Is believe an actual word? Anyway, they believe are more enticing. Not Peter. Not Peter. Peter dove right into the truth. Peter was bold. Peter spoke the truth loud and clear. This Jesus that you crucified. Ouch, right? And here's the deal. Why would someone ask, what should I do if they didn't feel a need? Why would anyone think they need a savior if they don't feel a need to be saved? Jesus did not fear losing his audience by his hard sayings. He boldly preached the truth because dying without it is eternal just as much as living with it will be. Today, our world is more interested in comfort and encouragement than in hard realities of dying and sin. It's too black and white to say that there's a heaven and a hell and a direct path to one or the other that depends on receiving the truth and acting on it. You're judgmental if you tell someone they're a sinner. In our society of Instagram photos, Twitter quotes, and Facebook posts, people want cozy messages that fit on a coffee mug or t-shirt. What do you think Peter would say on a mug or print on a t-shirt? Design one or both. And the t-shirt is designed there for you on the other page. So here's a print for the mug for you. And here's your t-shirt design. I want you to think about Peter's sermon. And I want you to imagine, design something that would go on a mug. And I'm being a bit facetious in this final create and share because our mugs are usually filled with cozy and warm thoughts, right? I've got a mug here with nothing on it, but I've seen mugs with all sorts of snarky, sarcastic, and or just cozy and warm, comforting thoughts. And there's a time and a place for that. But today, I really want you to think, what would you put as Peter's thoughts? And if you had to stick it on a mug or stick it on a t-shirt, design your own t-shirt for that. And then when you're finished writing or drawing, take a picture of that. Let me see what you've done. Share your creation. Share it with your study buddy, a friend, on social media. Put it on your Instagram, Facebook, or even right here on my YouTube page. You can create your own little video. Did you know that? Just post it on YouTube. And when you share on social, use the hashtags we always use, hashtag LMCCWomen, hashtag DwellingRichlyBibleStudy, or just hashtag DwellingRichly. And be sure to tag LMCCWomen. Tag me as well if we're friends on social. And if we're not friends yet, you can always connect with me and do that. It's been great to be with you in lesson 2 of this study, and that wraps it up. We are done. Congratulations. Good job. If you have finished every day of this study, I want to say high five to you. Boom. Right there. Not to your face, but to your hand. Congratulations, because it's not easy to stay focused and be diligent and find the time. I know there's a lot of demands on it. So take a moment right now to just thank God for that. Thank the friend that you're studying with and leave a comment here letting me know something that you've enjoyed in this study as well. And know that I do pray for you by name. And I'd love to hear from you. And as always, I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Our Bible study is coming up now in just a few days. Hopefully you'll be there. And until then, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.